desert, the new man went across the River Jordan. This flesh stays in the desert. That's why it sins. So, oh, preacher, you don't sin. Yes, I do. They tell you in preacher school not to say that. They tell you to get up there behind the pulpit. Talk in a very dignified voice. Look down on everybody so everybody looks up at you and they respect you. And don't ever tell them you're a sinner. I'd rather get right down here, the rest of you folks, and say, I'm a sinner just like you. And if God can do what He does with me, then praise God, He can do it with you.
Amen.
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 You know, Paul, over there in the book of Acts, when they wanted to sacrifice a bull to him, an ox to him, he ran out there, tore his clothes, and said, men and brethren, don't do this, for we are what? Men of like passions unto you. Now, Paul could say he was a man of like passions unto these people who sacrificed bulls and ox to Zeus or whatever his name was. Where do we get the idea that they walked around 3 feet off the ground with a halo over their head? Saw a picture. That's right. Sunday school teacher showed it to me. Jesus was walking 4 feet off the ground with butterflies off his fingertips. I don't think so. You know, Paul and Peter and those guys, they were human beings. They were men just like us. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Now, she didn't continue her trade. She had to find a new line of work, praise God. But you know what? When she came to Jesus and He cast those devils out, He didn't do it on the condition she quit her job. Do you ever stop to think of that? He didn't do it on the condition she quit her job. He did it because He loved her. She quit her job because she loved Him right back. See? When you come to Jesus Christ, and you really come, you really, really decide that you're fed up with the kingdom of the world, you're fed up with the kingdom of self, and you're going to live in the kingdom of God, then all of a sudden what you want isn't that important anymore. It's what pleases Him. And then you find out that what pleases Him is to give you the desires of your heart. Paul's bouncing up there in the studio right now. He's just bouncing. Because, see, Paul... I prophesied to Paul a long time ago. I prophesied to him that God was going to get his act together. And God was going to show him things he couldn't imagine. And I also prophesied to him that his wife was going to leave him. He was going to come home and find everything gone. And he didn't believe me. So he goes home after the revival. Guess what? The house is empty. She's gone. Got a 7-page letter waiting for him. I hate those letters. Hate them, burn them. You know, Paul could have, if there was a time when Paul would have gone crazy, but instead of going crazy, he prayed and he thanked God and he began to praise the Lord. And you know what happened? God just opened his eyes and showed him what was going on. And he went and had a talk with his wife. And I tell you, God is putting that thing back together in a way that is really cool. It's going to be right. You know, a lot of times we want God to move, and He would if we just get out of His way. You know, many times I've said, Lord, would you please do something? He said, I'd be glad to, Richard, but you're in my way. Get out of the way so I can move. And that's what He has to do. That's what we have to do. Get out of His way and let Him be God. He knows more than we do. He really does. All right, let's go back to Mark. So there's these three baptisms, water, blood, and spirit. All right, now when they crossed over the River Jordan, that was the symbolic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's the power to go and conquer. Now, if you believe the gospel and are baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in other words, you're baptized with the blood by the Father. You're baptized by the Spirit in the Spirit by Jesus, and you're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, those three baptisms equal one baptism. If you have then accomplished that, guess what? These signs are going to follow you in His name. Now, let me explain something. In His name. Everybody, you hear these people going around, I'm going to pray for you. In the name of Jesus. What does it mean, in His name? In my name, they shall cast out devils. So everybody says, well, you've got to say in the name of Jesus. Have you ever heard that? That's not the way it's done. See, if you are in Jesus, and you're walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh, then you understand that at that moment you are an ambassador of Christ. And what it means is you are speaking for Jesus. Huh? That's why when Gail was sitting there and about to go bananas with that migraine, and I said, what's the matter, honey? And she told me about this migraine. How many days had you had it? 3 days. She'd had it. And she was getting sick and everything. And I said, hey, it's no problem. Give it to me. And God delivered her just like that. See, I didn't do a ritual. There's no ritual to it. I just stood in the place of Jesus as He commanded, as His ambassador, and let Jesus do His thing.
Amen.
It's the power of God, and it's the power of Jesus, and it's available to everybody in this tent.
Amen.
And it's available to everybody outside of this tent if they'd only get away, get rid of their fear. Now, watch this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What does it mean to walk after the flesh? It means to walk after your feelings. Anybody ever been afraid? Huh? That's the flesh. The Bible says, what? What I missed? Behave yourselves now. Say you made me lose it. When you're walking after the flesh and you become afraid, you've got to remember something. The Bible says God does not give us a spirit of fear. First thing you've got to understand that fear is a spirit. It is a spirit. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but what? Of love. First thing you've got to have in Jesus Christ is love. Now, it took me a long time to figure this out. But I married that woman right there because God told me to. Now, it did take me long to figure that part out, but the part I'm coming to, it took me a while to learn. Oh, we were married 20 years before I realized we were married. No, that's not true. God told me to marry her, and I didn't want to. And God told you to marry me, and you didn't want to. We had a mutual hate society. Actually, it was a love-hate situation. I loved myself and hated her. No. I meant to say it the other way around. God got me on that one. Truth of the matter is, we loved each other in the Lord. We just didn't like each other as individuals. We really didn't. And she didn't want to be married, and I didn't want to be married. And it was real neat just to be in a situation where she didn't want to be married and I didn't want to be married. We could tell God, no way. But God had other plans. And He brought things around to that point where we both came together and said, okay. And when He did, He gave us love. See? And He gave me these two daughters here. And I loved them. And the Lord told me that I was to love them in the same way that their father would love them if he was still alive. And I told them I would, didn't I? And I said, it doesn't matter. I said, I can't take your daddy's place. Not going to try to. I'm just going to do his job. And I promise you I will love you as if he were here himself. And I said, you don't even have to love me back. I'm going to do it anyway. And I did. And it wasn't always easy. It was easier with Kim than it was with Carrie. At times I wanted to shoot Carrie, but God wouldn't let me. Made me love her. And you know what God showed me through this whole thing? Is what God was showing me how to love the church. How to love His people. Because He was teaching me to love Anne as if Jesus Himself were loving Anne. To love these girls as if Jesus Himself were loving these girls. To love that boy and that girl, and then to take that same love and love everybody else with it. That's what it means to be a Christian. So the first thing God does is give you what? Love. And that love, first God loves you, then you take that love, give it back to Him, then it comes back again, multiplied, and then you send it out. You send it out. So that when people are not doing things that you want them to do, you can still love them. All right, the next thing He gives you is power. Power over the natural. See, nothing can ever be done in the natural until it is first accomplished in the spirit. I don't care what it is. You want to get somebody saved, you've got to fight for them in the spirit first before you ever deal with the natural. That's why before God could deal with Paul's situation, God had to deal with Paul. And He had to deal with it in the spirit. You say, anybody understand me? All right. So He gives you power. Power over sickness. Power over disease. Power over Satan. Power over scorpions. What did He say? I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Amen. And nothing by any means can harm you. Amen. Gives you power. Then He gives you a sound mind. Now the sound mind is very important. Because it's the sound mind that keeps you on track so you can walk in the Spirit. It's the sound mind. Because when the flesh begins to well up and feelings get out of control, not that I know what that's like. I've seen some of you women go through it sometimes, but I personally wouldn't know what it's like. Huh? You go through it? Oh, she goes through it, so you go through it. Yeah, see? It's all relative, isn't it? See, what I miss. See, what it is your emotions, and I'm just picking on you ladies, but you guys are just as bad. We can be so stupid sometimes, but anyway. Our emotions get out of line. God gives us a sound mind to put on the brakes and say, whoa, wait a minute. What's the Word say? Let's go by the Word. Now, I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again because some of you haven't heard it. Everybody knows John Kennedy and Jr., and he died in that airplane crash. And I said it before it ever came out officially, that he died because he didn't know how to fly by instruments. If the man had known how to fly his airplane by instruments, he'd be alive today. Do you know that Christians die spiritually all the time because they don't know how to fly by God's instruments? And that's the Word of God. You can't go by feelings. They will mess you up. They will mess you up. And I've had people say to me, brother, you just don't make me feel good. Turn around. You rub me the wrong way. No, I don't. You just turned wrong. If you're turned right, it's the right way. Amen? What is that, a battery? Are you trying to tell me something? You trying to tell me my batteries are going dry? In my microphone. How come I hear it? Is it a miracle? Is that light on? Say it's going dead. Well, you know, you keyed up that song for me. It's still keyed up. Well, why don't you play that song and we'll replace this back. Praise God. Give the Lord a cheer. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. Now look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It goes on for what the law couldn't do. Let's just read it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Amen. So this flesh is sold under bondage, it's sold into sin, and it will die in sin. I had a preacher in Texas one time tell me that he was a sanctified saint and without sin. And I looked at him, and his wife was sitting there, and she was looking very wifely. You know how wives look wifely when they don't like what their husband's saying and don't want anybody else to know it? She was looking wifely. And I said, well, sir, I'd like to shake your hand. I have never met anyone like you. And he started, you know, sitting up a little taller, a little straighter. And his wife started getting this grin on her face because I think she knew where I was going. And I said, I've never met anybody without sin. I said, do you realize that means you're never going to die? That old body of yours will keep right on ticking forever. Amazing. The only other person that's ever been able to do that was Jesus. And he started looking funny. And I said, what's the matter? You mean you will die? He said, well, yeah. I said, then that means you got sin. See? If anybody says he's not a sinner, just ask him if he's ever going to die. That settles it. Because if you had no sin, your body wouldn't die. So this flesh has sin. But the new man in Christ Jesus has no sin. And there is a greater law than the law of Moses, and that's the law of life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Didn't God tell Adam that every tree in the garden he could eat except the tree of knowledge? Wasn't there a tree of life there? Wasn't he allowed to eat it? It wasn't until he took of the law or the tree of knowledge between good and evil, that he was no longer allowed to eat of the tree of life. Huh? Remember Hebrews chapter 6? After once tasting of the heavenly gift? All that kind of stuff, remember that? What's he talking about there? He's not talking about backsliding. He's talking about if you come, he was talking to Jews, amen? Wasn't he talking to Jews? And he was telling these Jews, if they come into Christ and receive everything that Christ has, if they then turn back to the law, there's no longer a sacrifice, but waiting for a condemnation and hellfire. Now watch this. When Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, did not God put two cherubim in front of the garden with swords to prevent them from going back in? That's your Hebrews chapter 6. See? He was telling the Jews, if you come out of the law and receive Christ, if you then seek to go back into the law to justify yourself, there's no longer a sacrifice for sin. Because then you'd have to sacrifice Jesus again afresh. And that ain't going to happen. That's just one level of it. I could teach another level, which tells you there's no sacrifice for sin in heaven either. once you go to heaven, if you sin, you can be cast out and go to hell. So you better learn to get it right here. If you can't learn to get it right here and trust Jesus Christ here, what makes you think you're going to be able to do it there? That's a sobering thought. That's a sobering thought. See, God didn't die. Jesus didn't die for this flesh. He died for your soul and your spirit.
Amen.
Fortunately, in heaven, there's not going to be the temptation.
Amen.
You're going to get a glorified body without sin. And there will be no temptation. But if Satan, Lucifer, could sin of his own will, what makes you think you're better than he was? Let's learn it now.
Amen.
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 Son, play me a song. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, sir, would you forgive me, but may I ask you a question? Are you a minister? You're not. Amen. I just thought you were a minister. Uh-huh. Okay. Praise the Lord. Y'all be seated. This crossing the River Jordan, folks, is important because eternal salvation depends on it. The book of Revelation talks about seven churches. And out of the seven churches, only one of the churches does God promise to take them out of the hour of temptation that will come to try the whole earth. You hear a lot of preaching and talking about the rapture. There's no such thing as a rapture. There is a catching away. There are seven catching aways. Enoch was the first. Elijah was the second. Jesus and the saints at the resurrection were the third. The Church of Philadelphia will be the fourth. The 144,000 will be the fifth. The two prophets at the end of the tribulation will be the sixth, and the great white throne resurrection will be the seventh. Out of the seven churches spoken of in Revelations, only one of those churches are caught up to be with the Lord. And that's the Church of Brotherly Love. That's the Church of Philadelphia. And they have a couple things that's really interesting about them. One, they love one another. Two, they believe God's word and they don't change it. And three, they walk in the power of God. Amen? And that is the church you want to be in. That doesn't mean that you can't be saved in the others. Because in every one of them you can be. Even in Pergamos. But I don't want to be in Pergamos. I don't want to be in Thyatira. I don't feel like being in Smyrna or Ephesus. And I surely don't want to be the Laodiceans. Amen. And God said I can be of the Philadelphia church. And that's the one I'm going to walk in. And we sang that song, there is therefore now no condemnation. If somebody wants to condemn you, you tell them, Jesus, talk to your master, Jesus Christ. Amen? If you believe on Jesus Christ, if you cross over that river Jordan and learn to walk in the Spirit of God and not in the flesh, then there is no condemnation. The devil can't condemn you, and nobody can condemn you. And that's the long and the short of it. I want you key up that song that I like. What time is it? Okay. Key up that song. That's it. And just put it softly for a minute, son. This is normally when I would give an altar call. And I'm not giving an altar call. I'm just going to ask you to go home and get in your closet. pray in secret where your Heavenly Father heareth in secret. And if you haven't made it right with Jesus and you haven't made it where you have determined to turn your entire life over to Him and get it right, don't come out of that closet till you do. Well, you may be a churchgoer. You may have read the Bible. But if these signs spoken of aren't following you, then you're not a believer of the gospel. Now, I'm not saying that. Jesus said it. What you've got to come to a mind of is Jesus Christ a truthful God or is He a liar? If He said it, believe it. That's what it means to walk after the Spirit, to believe Jesus. That's all there is to walking after the Spirit. You walk after the flesh and say, well, I don't understand it. I've never seen it before. You can't understand a thing till you believe a thing, and you can't believe a thing without faith. We'd never be flying in airplanes if somebody didn't believe it could be done. And I got news for you. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now and preaching and taking this tent out and praying for people if I didn't believe it. And I believed it before I saw it. I don't go out looking to see who the next sign is going to be. As the Bible says, they follow me. I've had people healed without me ever saying a word, just walking by. Jesus said that would happen too. And it can happen with you. All you got to do is make that little simple switch from believing in Jesus to believing Him. Just a little minor switch. Believe the gospel. Turn your life over to Him and say, Father, from now on, You rule. And then it's like that woman. You see, Jesus said, it's like, how do I liken the kingdom of God? It's likened to a woman that had a little leaven in 3 measures of meal. And soon the whole lump was leavened. See, to understand that, Steve, you and I, we're that lump. I'm that lump. And when I made that choice, God took a little bit of, just a little bit, and stuck it in me. And pretty soon it started to work. And now I like it because it just pops out. It's on people. People get healed, delivered. They get saved. That's what it's all about. So you get in your closet. Quit your kingdom. Quit the kingdom of the world. Join the kingdom of God. He'll do the rest. I can leave. And you can never see me again, and that's okay. God's bigger than I am. You know, if you take me and hang me on a cross, I'll die, but it ain't going to help you any. The only one that could do that was Jesus. You know why? Because the blood that flowed in Jesus' veins came from the Holy Ghost. Holy blood. Holy blood. It wasn't natural blood. It was holy blood. It was God's blood. I got old human blood in me. He had God's blood in him. And that's why that blood was able to save. So I can tell you and I can show you. But He's the one that's got to do it. So you get in that closet. Do like Jesus said, pray in secret with your Heavenly Father who heareth in secret. He will then reward you openly. Paul was outside the other day and had an opportunity to pray for somebody to be healed. He did it hardly without thinking. He just prayed and they were healed. It's yours. It's free. It don't cost nothing. Well, it costs a little bit. It only costs your life. But is your life really all that good anyway? If you were a Rockefeller, I could see why you maybe wouldn't want it. But I'll tell you what, this is the life. Can't wait to get up and see what Jesus is going to do next. Isn't that right, Scott? Let's sing the song. You know, it's right there in the song. Jesus is the lover of my soul. He loved my soul first. He loved your soul first. He took this soul, man, out of this miry clay and put it in himself in the rock. See, you see me here, but I'm there. You got to experience to understand it. I stood in an apartment house in Winter Park, Maitland, Florida, in a Bible study one time. A little Filipina girl was crying. Her husband, Buzz, remember Buzz, Ann? Part of my ministry at the time. She was crying. I said, honey, what's the matter? She said, my daddy's dying. I said, where's your daddy? She said, he's in the hospital in the Philippines. And I want to see. And I didn't know what I was doing. Didn't have a clue what I was doing. But I just felt the presence of the Lord in me and just said, come here, honey, grab my hand. Let's pray for your daddy. And we stood there and I began to pray, and all of a sudden it just faded out and faded in. And when we faded in, we were standing in that hospital room in the Philippines. Saw her daddy. She ran up and hugged her daddy. And I told him about Jesus. Told him about the power of God, about the love of God. Laid hands on him and prayed for him, and he was healed. When we finished praying, all of a sudden, faded out, faded back in, we're standing in the living room. She looked at me, and I looked at her. She said, did you see what I saw? I said, I think so. What did you saw? She said, and tears running down her face, she said, I saw my daddy. I said, I saw him too, and he looked just like this, and the bed looked like that. And she started crying, and I started crying, and everybody else looked at us like we were crazy, because they never saw us leave the room. Then a while later, her mother called from the Philippines. Told her, she said, you've got to talk to your daddy. You've got to talk to your father. He's beside himself. He's out of his mind. He's telling everybody he's healed, that you came here with a preacher, and he told him about Jesus, and he was healed. And you've got to tell him that it wasn't true. And she said, but Mama, it was true. I really was there. And he is healed. And Jesus is able to do far greater than that. I was there in the Spirit. The flesh stayed here. That's what it means to walk by the Spirit of God in the kingdom of God. And God wants you to be able to do that. You don't have to join my church. You don't have to talk like me or look like me, thank God. But you do got to know Jesus. Amen. Next to my heart. Take God serious. Don't take yourself serious. Believe His Word.
It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. You believe it. He does the rest.
Amen? Say it, son.
Praise the Lord. All right. I hear you. Couple things real quick before we head out. We are going to do baptisms this Saturday. We're going to do them probably around 3 o'clock out at, I figure we'll do them out in Cornish Flat. So, folks who want to be baptized, why don't you meet over here at 2:30. And then you can caravan it over there for 3 o'clock. There's some new Christians here who I know who I think might be interested in being baptized this Saturday. And those who do, why don't you hang out here in the tent for a few minutes afterwards. I want to go over a few things with you about baptism. The other thing is we're going to be here till Saturday night, every night at 7. And we invite everybody on back. It's been wonderful having you with us here this evening. And we are going to be here every night till Saturday. And then Sunday we're going to be tearing this thing down. But taking this thing down, that's true. Well, it's Aaron. I didn't mean it that way. But we're going to be taking this thing down, packing it up, because this tent has to move on. It has to move on. And so for folks who are desirous of being supportive of seeing this tent go forth, what I would ask is that you pick up, we got some brochures over here. I'm going to have to find them for you. But I know we got them around here. Yeah, Jeannie's got some. We got some around here. We'll give you some brochures. Tim's got one up over there. And that'll tell you a little bit about this ministry. We're an interdenominational ministry. We work with everybody. Okay? And this tent needs to move forward, and it costs money to put this tent forward. We don't take up an offering here because this revival already been paid for. But the fact of the matter is it does take money. We're looking for dedicated Christians who want to support the work of this ministry and seeing it go forth. For those who do, I encourage you to read through our brochure. Go check out our website. And if you feel led of the Lord to support this ministry, then praise God. Okay? And we do have some baskets up here for folks who feel led to put something in them tonight. We're not going to pass them around. And we got tapes of the revival.